Good morning. I think we have connected to Facebook Live, and we're also here on Zoom this morning for virtual worship here at Calvary Baptist Church. As you know, we're continuing to gather in a rotational format, sometimes in person and sometimes virtually, because we're continuing to think together and to imagine together what it means to keep connecting during these, I guess, interim days as we keep figuring out life together. It's good to be together this morning, as I was saying a minute ago, with the group on the second Sunday of December, but the third Sunday of Advent. And if you want to know what drives a pastor wild, it's what I just said right there and trying to keep up with it. But it is good to be together on this third Sunday of Advent, where we celebrate joy. This is the week that we light that pink candle right there. And we'll do that in the next few minutes. So this morning, we are gathered to remember the gift of joy, joy for this life, joy for relationships, joy for connection. And we'll be celebrating all day at Calvary. We'll say a little bit more about this, but this afternoon we'll be gathering in a couple of our members' homes, outdoors, for a wonderful time of celebration and connection. And I suspect, well, at least I hope, we might sing this afternoon is one that is near and dear to Calvary during this season, Mi Burrito Sabanero. And it's a song that reminds us about the journey that Maria and Jose took as they prepared to bring the Christ child into the world. And we remember that the God of the universe, who comes to us as a baby, is waiting to be born now, and the creatures of the earth and shepherds and angels and a whole chorus of very unexpected characters are making it possible for the Christ child to be born, including this joyful Burrito Sabanero. So this is a reprisal, I guess, of last year's singing. So let's sing together.
Con mi burrito sabanero voy camino de Belén. Con mi burrito sabanero voy camino de Belén.
Sí, Belén, sí, Belén,
voy camino de Belén.
Sí, Belén, sí, Belén, voy camino de Belén.
Con mi cuatrico voy cantando, mi burrito va trotando. Mi cuatrico voy cantando y mi burrito va trotando.
Sí, Belén. Yeah.
mañana.
Come, friends, for now is when Advent begins, this journey of joy in the darkness.
We wait in the darkness, expectantly, longingly, anxiously, thoughtfully. The darkness is our friend.
In the darkness of the womb, we have all been nurtured and protected. In the darkness of the womb, the Christ child was made ready for the journey into light.
You are with us, O God, in darkness and in light.
It is only in the darkness that we can see the splendor of the universe, blankets of stars, the solitary glowings of distant planets. It was the darkness that allowed the Magi to find the star that guided them to where the Christ child lay. In the darkness of sleep, we are restored and renewed. In the darkness of sleep, dreams rise up. God spoke to Joseph through dreams. God is speaking still.
You are with us, O God, in darkness and in light.
And in that same darkness, we come face to face with what the last 2 years have been for us, personally and globally. We come face to face with our fatigue, our grief, and our limitations. So we pray together. We know you are with us, O God, yet we still await your coming.
In the darkness of your mysterious unknowing, we watch for a sign of God's joy.
Hello, Calvary. It's a pleasure to be with you this morning. My name is Nick, and I'll be your deacon for this Advent week. And if you have any prayers or praises you'd like to talk about, please feel free to reach out to my email. It's at the end of this bulletin, and I'd be happy to discuss them with you. Now, please join me in passing the peace. The peace of the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
La paz del Señor sea contigo.
Y contigo también.
Good morning again. This morning we'll be holding a couple of beautiful rituals to connect us to one another, to connect us to this season of Advent, to connect us to the story of the Christ child coming into the world, the glory of God coming into the world as a baby. This is what we remember, this is what we repeat over and over again this season. We say it, and somehow we think it'll become more sensible as we say it. And yet we realize how nonsensical it is that God, creator of heaven and earth, the imaginer of all things, all creatures, all beings, all life, would come to us, would be known to us most fully as a baby. That is joyful, undoubtedly. So this morning, in just a minute, we'll light the pink Advent candle, the joy candle, alongside the candles of hope and peace. But first, I will invite us to gather around another place of joy, a place that Jesus's disciples gathered with him in joy and in sorrow many a time. They gathered around a table to eat, to share, to struggle, to imagine, to argue, to dream together. This is what we call now the communion table, where we remember Christ's love for us, expressed to us in his body, through his being, through his, the big word for it is incarnation. What a mystery. What a mystery we celebrate today. So if you haven't, I want to give you a moment to find something to eat and something to drink. Pause. I think folks have got it. And let's share the gift of bread and wine, the gift of whatever it is that is setting our table this morning together. When Jesus gathered with friends around this table to dream and struggle and argue and imagine, he took bread. And he broke it and he said, "This is my body. Take and eat." Then while they were at supper together, he also took the cup. He said, "This is my blood. It's a new covenant. It's a new dream together. Drink it and remember me always." So today we eat from this table with joy. Bread of life, cup of salvation, of wholeness, and new life.
Thanks be to God. We're in the bread of life, the cup of salvation, of wholeness.
Thanks be. Let me light our candles for us too. You got it? So as these candles are lit, here again, these words from Howard Thurman. "I will light candles this Christmas, candles of joy, despite all sadness, candles of hope, where despair keeps watch, candles of courage for fears ever present, candles of peace for tempest-tossed days, candles of grace to ease heavy burdens, candles of love to inspire all my living, candles that will burn all year long." Thanks be.
Now's the time in our worship where we practice sharing what we have with one another. You're free, welcome. We invite you to go online to calvarydc.org/give and share so that we might continue the work of this community of followers together. Thank you for your faithfulness.
Star of wonder, star of night, saw with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. Oh, astro de sublime ardor, de divino resplandor, nuncio veo tus destellos, nos guiarán por su fulgor.
The scripture lesson is in Isaiah chapter 12, verses 2 to 6. I will read first in English and then in Spanish. "Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid. For God is my strength and my might. God has become my salvation. With joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And you will say in that day, give thanks to God. Call on God's name. Make known God's deeds among the nations. Proclaim that God's name is exalted. Sing praises to God, for God has done gloriously. Let this be known in all the earth. Shout aloud and sing for joy, for great in your midst is the Holy One. He aquí, Dios es salvación mía. Me aseguraré y no temeré, porque mi fortaleza y mi canción es Jehová, quien ha sido salvación para mí. Sacaréis con gozo aguas de las fuentes de la salvación y diréis en aquel día, cantad a Jehová, aclamad su nombre, haced célebres en los pueblos sus obras. Recordad que su nombre es engrandecido. Cantad salmos a Jehová porque ha hecho cosas magníficas. Sea sabido esto por toda la tierra. Regocíjate y canta porque grande es en medio de ti el Santo.
Mi Navidad está metida en el verano. No tiene pinos ni la nieve le da luces. Mi Navidad con el calor va de la mano y un dulce olor a sidra y a pan dulce. Pasa a todos los hombres, pasen la tierra. Caliente y en la que nieva, en mi tierra caliente y en la que nieva. Está metida en el verano.
We're thankful for that beautiful music from Chris. Last year was the first time I'd ever heard the song, and it certainly won my heart. It's good to hear it again. This Advent season, we're turning our attention to wonder and asking ourselves questions about wonder. How do you, awestruck by the universe and all of its inhabitants, movements, and moments, wonder? How do you take life in, receiving it, celebrating it, loving it? How does this season of Advent wonderment and waiting invite you to look up with joy. Today, we're actually holding the question about this Advent season of warm wonderment and waiting and asking how it invites us to look in with joy. This can be a more difficult question for us, a more challenging place to stand in wonder, but it is a profoundly important part of this Advent season. How do you revere the mystery that is you? Richard Rohr's daily meditation at the very beginning of Advent named this so clearly. He writes, "The biblical creation story says, 'Let us make humans in our image.' The plural pronoun is a first hint that we're going to be brought into a relational, participatory, and shared life. The secret is somehow planted in our within our deepest identity and slowly reveals itself if we're attentive to this reverence humming in us. Our DNA is divine, and the divine indwelling is never earned by any behavior, group membership, or ritual whatsoever, but only recognized and realized, and thus fallen in love with. When we are ready, we will be both underwhelmed and overwhelmed at the boundless mystery of our own humanity. We will know we are standing in the same waterfall of mercy as everybody else and receiving an undeserved radical grace, which is the root cause of every ensouled being." He continues, "When I started ministry in the early 1970s in Cincinnati and worked with young people, it seemed like I spent most of my time trying to convince teenagers that they were good. They all seemed to endlessly hate and doubt themselves, often with a little help from parenting and clergy. Later, I saw it in adults, too, who were all well-practiced in hating and fearing themselves. What the scriptures promised us is that we are objectively and inherently children of God. And you can't change that. This is not psychological worthiness. It is ontological, metaphysical, substantial worthiness that cannot be gained or lost. When this given God image becomes our operative self-image, we are home free. Such a gospel is just about the best good news anyone could hope for." The last piece of what he wrote, "I'm convinced that so much guilt, negative self-interest, self-hatred, and self-preoccupation occurs because we have taken our cues and identities from a competitive and comparing world. But Jesus told us to never take this world as normative. Jesus asked, 'Why do you look to one another for approval instead of the approval that comes from the one God?' So many of us accept either a successful or a low self-image inside a system of false images to begin with. Smart, good-looking, classy, loser, all are just words humans create. This will never work," Rohr says. "We must find our true self hidden within Christ in God," as Paul says, or as Teresa of Avila envisioned God telling her, "If you wish to find me, in yourself seek me. Then we do not go up and down, but we are built on the rock of ages. It is the very shape of all spiritual maturity, regardless of what religion we may belong to." So today, I invite you to take a deep breath. Comfort any anxieties that might be rising up in you, and suspend judgment, at least for the next few moments, as we consider the wonder of ourselves. depending on how long you've been hanging around Calvary, you've likely heard me talk about Howard Thurman, the mystic theologian whose voice was foundational to the imaginations of civil rights leaders. He was a wisdom voice and companion that I turned to again and again. I had the amazing gift of learning about Thurman from Dr. Luther Smith at Candler. Dr. Smith was then in his 35th year at the school and was retiring at the end of the semester. He was teaching his enormously sought-after class on Howard Thurman one last time, and he insisted on keeping the class small, only 30 students. On registration morning, I watched the clock tick down by the second. I hit register at exactly 7 a.m. and rejoiced when I got a seat class. You see, Dr. Smith had been studying Howard Thurman for the whole of his career. He wrote his dissertation on Thurman many years prior, and part of his research was to sit with, interview, and learn from Thurman directly. We certainly read Thurman's writings in the course, but it was so much more than that. We listened to his voice, watched videos, and heard from notes that Dr. Smith had made on Thurman throughout his lifetime of study. Not only this, Dr. Smith was careful to contextualize Thurman. When we hear something he wrote that Thurman had written in the 1950s, we'd also hear an op-ed letter written to the newspaper from the same moment, blatantly espousing white supremacy and segregation. In other words, we were pushed to hear Thurman in his context. After a lifetime of studying Howard Thurman, Dr. Smith had a clear arc to the course that he taught us. We first read the autobiography and learned about the biographical outline of Thurman's life. And then, before we went any further, we focused in on biography as theology, holding the question, in what ways is each life a theological statement? For Thurman, biography reveals truth, though not always clearly. Let me say that again. For Thurman, biography reveals truth, though not always clearly. He held fast to the truth that within you, within me, is that which is divine, which is humanity. At this point, Dr. Smith drew a big, huge circle on the board, and then he started to draw all of these small circles within that much larger circle. He was trying to help us understand Thurman's worldview. For Thurman, all of the particulars, all those little circles, contain the universal. And the universal is constituted by particularity. In other words, my particularity has within it that which is universal. Your particularity has within it that which is universal. It is Thurman's mystical experience of oneness that shapes his world view. But this is a starting point. Changes everything. Recall Rohr's description of the self-loathing that he constantly saw in teenagers and adults. Recall your own, my own, ongoing struggles with the messages we send ourselves. This is a fundamentally different starting point. Think original blessing, instead of total depravity. We also need to pause and make sure we hear Thurman situated in history as well. He was born in 1899. His grandmother was enslaved. He grew up during Jim Crow segregation when the terrorism of lynchings were a common occurrence. For Thurman to claim his own divine DNA and that of Black people was essential, profound, and critically important. For Thurman to insist on all being constituted of divine DNA was seemingly outrageous. Let's unpack this just a little. For Howard Thurman, the particularity of the self is vast, vast. Because biography reveals truth, though not always clearly, theology is always being made and unmade, knit and unraveling. Theology is always outdated because life has moved on. And this Thurman recognized the limits of theology, but held on to the vastness of the self, realizing that he could not even explore fully in one lifetime the vastness of his own self. God is with us, in us, the ground of all being, universal oneness, a mystery. Thurman's experience held resonance with Carl Jung, who wrote in his autobiography, "Here at the end of my days, I am more a mystery to myself than I ever have been." Which brings us to the part of my notes that I circled, underlined, and returned to again and again. This is what I wrote through the voice of Luther Smith, talking about what Thurman was trying to get us to see. "Hopefully, the awareness of mystery evokes the response of reverence." How do you revere the mystery that is you? Let me say that one more time. "Hopefully, the awareness of mystery evokes the response of reverence," of wonder. How do you revere the mystery that is you? Thurman believed that the only way to be at home everywhere was to be at home somewhere. He said, "A person goes down deep into herself and from there universalizes. My own essence gives me a clue as to my understanding of life. I'm driven to find in the grounds of my being that which transcends all that was external." How I wonder. When you look at the stars in the sky, the birds of the air, the trees stretching deep into the earth and up into the sky, I pray that you declare, "How I wonder." And this Advent season, I pray that you might also stand before yourself, your whole embodied, knit together self with divine DNA, and also declare, "How I wonder." I pray that you might hold Thurman's question, "How do you revere the mystery that is you?" If I cannot revere the mystery of God in me, how can I revere it in you? This is the mystery of the incarnation of Advent, that God is with us, that God is in us. I want to close this morning sharing with you this incredible icon of Howard Thurman that Maria gave me 2 years ago. Will you get it for us? Back in 2013, when I was taking the class on Thurman, Maria observed how firsthand how moved and shaped I was. We were also quite enamored by this book by Joan Chittister called A Passion for Life that includes these beautiful icons written by iconographer Robert Lentz. Maria thought an icon of Howard Thurman would be a fitting gift for me and set out to find one. Only she discovered that it didn't exist. As you probably know, when she has a really good idea, she follows the creative energy. This started what became a more than 5-year-long creative process with iconographer Robert Lentz. They emailed back and forth. He studied Thurman. He also moved, had health challenges, and more. And then in the fall of 2019, he finished writing the icon and shipped it to Maria to give to me as a long-awaited Christmas surprise. I burst into tears when I opened it, and then I sat in awe as I listened to its birthing story. You see, icons are different from other paintings. As Robert Lentz describes his work, he said, instead of inviting you in to itself through realistic perspective, like much art does, an icon reverses that perspective and comes out to you. That coming out is basically an eschatological statement, he says. You are in the presence of God no matter where you go. This icon of Howard Thurman comes out to us each and every day, asking us, how do you revere the mystery that is you? This Advent season of wonder, we pray that you'll carry this question with you too. How do you revere the mystery that is you? How do you let resonance happen in your life and just experience it? What is it that you are searching for? What is your way of searching, of listening, of paying attention to your dreams? What wisdom voices do you engage in dialogue? How do you stay curious, alive to wonder, open-hearted? How do you revere the mystery that is you? For Thurman, this was the starting point out of which all else flowed. I offer this prayer of his as our closing prayer this morning and as an example of where this flow leads. Let's pray together. Oh, that we might be unanimous within ourselves, that our total being might be a tuned instrument in thy hands, making the kind of music that would calm the distressed, that would heal the broken body and mind, that would bring tenderness to those who feel rejected and outcast. As we pray in thy presence, gather us in, that we might be a lung through which thy spirit may breathe. Amen.
Mystery.
Beloved, how do you revere the mystery that is you? May you hold this question joyfully this week, but far beyond this week, each and every day of your life. Go with joy, go with peace, go with hope, go with your divine mystery grounded inside of you and growing every day. Peace to you today. And know that we've got lots going on today. We have our quarterly business meeting following the service. Beyond that, we have a big celebration and outdoor gathering this afternoon first in Casa de Amparo, in Amparo's house and front yard. And then we'll walk slash drive slash transfer ourselves a few minutes away to Becky Vaughn's house and celebrate there as well. Details are in your bulletin, but we'll, I'm sure, be talking about it on Zoom. So hop on over here if you want to learn a little bit more and connect with us anyway today. Many blessings.